I got to a place in the song when she first said, "He will be enough." And I went to say, "Amen." And I said, "Oh, me." I'd like to say, since I got saved, that He was enough. And when the billows come and the troubles come, I'm looking to get out of them. Not resting in the fact that He's with them, with me in them. The disciples said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" It wasn't enough that He was in the boat with them. They weren't satisfied that He was there with them. They wanted peace from the storm. One of the greatest things about the Lord that we all need to learn is He might not take the storms away, but He's always going to be there with us in them. And sometimes you just have to, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Daniel in the lion's den, the children of Israel in bondage. I think who's the have it your way? Is that Burger King? I think too many of us want a Burger King Christianity. He never promised clear skies. Amen. Whew, y'all messed me up with that song, man. Amen. Revelation chapter 1. Anybody got anything? Robert, it's good to see you back tonight. Amen. We're good? Everybody good? All right, Revelation chapter 1. Maybe I'm the only one messed up tonight. Man, that got me. Some of y'all are angelic singers. Amen. Let's see, what's the calendar? Can you pull the calendar up for me? Survey says. Is that possible? Can you pull the calendar up for me? You can't? What's today? What's today? I don't have a calendar on me. Yes, I do. Here we go. Let's see, today's the 22nd of September. And so next Sunday night is Milk and Manna. And then the following Sunday I'm in Chicago. So next Sunday night we'll have Ryan and Caleb, Noah. Is that enough notice? You sure? Yeah, we'll have you two come up, see how much you can do. Noah wanted to be in the Timothy discussion this afternoon, and we were slicing his dad up, so Mike asked if he could come in next week or the next time, but he wanted to be in there, and I appreciate it. I think Caleb started out in there, didn't he? There was a lot of people that started out. So we'll do this, Noah and Ryan, in that order, next Sunday night. All right? You don't have to have the same passage of Scripture or ones that go hand in hand, but just have whatever's on your heart. Let's say probably, what was the school one?
That was 15 minutes.
15 minutes? You think you can do 15 with that one? I think I can do 15 most times. This morning's message was 15 minutes, wasn't it, Miss Paula? So 15 minutes, all right?
He says he can do 45.
He says he can do 45, okay. All right, let's just try and squeeze it in 15. All right? My first one was 6 pages, 12 font on a whatever those little Apple computer dot matrix printers were. And I probably 6 pages, 12 files. How long do you think it took me?
4 minutes.
Less than 10. Amen. But it's what sparked something inside of me. And so hopefully it'll spark something inside these young guys. Revelation chapter 1. We good? Man, y'all messed me up with that song. Whew. I could see me driving down the road, keep hitting that little half circle thing on my Pandora. I pulled over on the side of the road the other day. My hand was shaking so bad. Pulled over on my bike on the side of the road. And you got to hit that option on Pandora, and then it makes you play a video before you can do it. And I just drove down the road the other day. Just kept hitting that thing. I thought two times in here was enough because I didn't want to get selfish, and I could have listened to that and just went home. He should be enough, shouldn't he?
Yeah, right.
We ought to leave out tonight and say he's enough.
Right.
If the bottom falls out tomorrow, he's enough. Right. Knowing that he said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Right. Revelation chapter 1. So we've been doing this a few weeks. Let's see if we can get past verse 3. Amen. But we're almost out of Philemon. You know, look on the bright spot, okay? The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. And here's where we're at tonight. Blessed is he that readeth. And I said the last time we were together, that means, does anybody remember? Does anybody take notes on what the word blessed means there? Yeah, that's what it means in the Psalms. It means well off, fortunate. We're fortunate. We're fortunate. Who's fortunate? He that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein. And then John said this, Jesus said to John rather, for the time is at hand. Now he already said it must shortly come to pass. Now he said that the time is at hand. And he said, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and we have our trinities again, which is, which, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, another trinity, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him to another trinity loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Brother Jacob, pray for us. Amen. Whew, man, y'all messed me up bad. I can't get past that. Amen. Tonight, we continue in our... I got so many things on my mind, so many people on my mind, so many situations that I wish everybody realized he's enough.
Yeah.
He's just enough.
Yeah. Hey, right.
For any situation we're going to face this week and will face, could possibly face. If he's not enough, then why are we here?
Right.
And even me, I'm the one that's preaching the messages, and I'm telling you he's enough, and then I'm convicted sitting over there, and he's not enough some days. Really, isn't he? We say he is, but then we want relief from the storm instead of his presence. His presence is enough. He's enough.
Right.
He's enough that he can sit by us in a situation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then so many times we're looking for out of the situation, and we're saying to him, oh, he's not enough. It's not enough that he'll just be with me in this situation, in this storm, in this trial. I need relief from it. And Job learned that the hard way, didn't he? Elijah, how many can we think of? Jeremiah about gave up. I mean, how many of the Moses, so many people in the scriptures. But he's enough. It is without faith that's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I think he has a tendency to get us out of our situations when we just tell him he's enough. That's not the message tonight, but boy, it is for me. I probably won't remember nothing I'll say tonight, but I'll remember that song they sang. I'll probably listen to that on YouTube a few times this week. Is that a song out there, or is that one of y'all's? Is that one of yours that you sang? Because if it is, we're sending you to Hollywood, man. We're going to get a Dove Award for you on that one. It's the Yorks. Phew, man, I'll tell you what. Help me, Lord. Tonight we continue in our study of Revelation of Jesus Christ. Again, we've looked so far, and we are still only three verses deep into it. There's 22 chapters. Now, do you see why we probably will see the rapture of the church before the finish of the Revelation in our studies? That was humorous. Did it get you too, Alicia? Yeah, it got me too. It didn't get anybody else, it got us. So we've looked so far at the prologue of the Revelation regarding its origin, and then regarding its objective. Then we looked at the procurement of the Revelation, and it was in order. It was from the authoritative maestro by his angelic messenger to his available minister. There's a lot of things that God wants us to say or to be heard to pass on to somebody else. There might be something said today about forgiveness that you need to share to somebody else. And God reveals it to us through his word for a what? An available minister. You might bump into somebody this week that you need to speak to about that. And then it was for an attentive mankind. Then we looked last week at the promise of the revelation found in its privilege. That was what we looked at last week, and I kind of went off script a little bit and talked about some other things that I hadn't written down. And the privilege was threefold. Number one, it was what? The privilege was in, thank you, Sam, reading it. The privilege was in hearing it. And the privilege was in keeping it. That was the promise. Now the other aspect of the promise of the revelation we look at tonight is found in its, not in its privilege, but in its priority, regarding which gets us to where we pick up tonight, verse 3D. It is found in its priority. Now, some may say, I see the privilege that we're blessed, we're fortunate to be able to read it, to hear it, and to keep it. We're very privileged with that. I don't know if enough people realize how privileged we are to be able to read the Word of God. We have God's mind on paper. Everything he ever wanted to say to us. Until he sees us face to face. Everything he ever wanted to say to us is contained within the book until we meet him face to face. And then there will be truth through the ages, and we'll be in the presence of truth. And so we're very privileged. We're blessed because we have the privilege to be able to read it, to be able to hear it, and to be able to keep it. I'm afraid, and I'm not shooting at anybody when I say this, but these part-timers that come, they're missing the privilege. Yeah. They don't get to come back tonight, and it's not because the preacher's preaching, and it won't be because Ryan and Noah will be next week preaching. It's that they'll be taking, we're able to read, hear, and keep the Word of God. Something can be said from the Scriptures, and we can read it, we can hear it, and we can keep it, and it can change our lives. Amazing how many people this morning, I saw the looks on people's face, how many people are unforgiving. And it is the very foundation and premise of the book. How can God forgive us and we don't think enough to forgive somebody else? And so we're very privileged. But with that privilege comes a priority. And the priority, some may say, I see the privilege of the promise, but I don't see the priority of the promise. The priority is found in the latter part of the verse. After he says, the keeping, he says, and keep those things which are written therein. Here's the priority for the times at hand. The priority is found in the latter part, as I said, and if the time is at hand, then the promise is found in the priority. There's three of them. See if you can find them. First, the promise of the revelation is found in its priority to read. Can I say this in the promise of the revelation, that reading it and Scripture should be a priority? If all you do is read Scripture tonight or this morning because we read it for the message, then there's not much of a priority. Because if you look at this thing, everything in Scripture is profitable in some way, shape, or form. Whether the context of it was to a specific person. I've heard people say that when Jesus gave the commission, he gave the commission to the disciples. Contextually, he did, but they were the ones that were there. But intentionally, he gave it to everybody because those disciples were to teach the next disciples, which were to teach the next disciples, and then it keeps going because it doesn't stop. And so sometimes we think that reading isn't important because it was a book written a long time ago. There is warnings upon warnings upon warnings upon warning. Here was one I was talking to somebody about the other day. You see Genesis 3:16, and it is a promised prophecy of the child of Eve. She'll bring forth a child, and that child, that son, will what? His heel will be bruised, but he'll crush the head of the serpent. They believe the priority of that promise so much that Genesis chapter 4 opens up, and she says, I've been given a man-child from the Lord. What did she think she was getting? The promise that the child now has come to what? She didn't see this big, long length period of time waiting for John, waiting for the consolation of Israel. She was waiting for the priority of it at that time. But what, that's not being selfish either. She should be expectant of it. We've gotten to the place where Peter said, where is the promise of his coming? There'll be scoffers in those days saying, where is the promise of his coming? They're mocking us many times because they don't understand the promise of the revelation in its privilege. We get to read it. We get to hear it. We get to keep it. And then the priority of it, it's at hand. Now all of a sudden, and here's just me. This is just my theology. She, I believe, as a mom, was sitting there saying, you're the guy. You're the guy that's going to get us back in the garden. She put such a weight. Watch this now. She put such a weight, allow me for a moment, on Cain to get them back in the garden, because they thought they were going back in there. Am I off on this? They think they're getting back into the garden. So they banish them from the garden. They come back to the door. And now they're offering, the very offering, a blood sacrifice to get them back in there. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Okay, so they try and get back in there. Cain comes in and he says, well, I'm the guy. Mom's told me I'm the guy. I'm going to go offer. Look at what I've done to get us back in there. He didn't offer a profitable sacrifice. Next thing you know, Abel comes in. He at least listened, but he's not the one. And I'm not saying, just bear with me for a minute. Because this happens in real life. Parents elevate one and then put down the other one. Firstborn, singleborn, onlyborn, whatever one. And then all of a sudden, God does not accept Cain's sacrifice. That's not going to get him in there. Accepts Abel's because Abel stayed with the thread. And what does Cain do? Well, you're not the guy. I'm the guy that's going to crush the serpent to get my family back in there. And God didn't accept his sacrifice. He said, if thou doest well, sin lieth at the door. You say, what does that all mean? There was a priority to get back into the garden, not knowing. Now all of a sudden, over and over again, there's this priority. We're trying to get back there. We're trying to get back. And God creates these environments for us, the tabernacle or the temple, to worship him and see him and desire him. The priority to get back into his presence, although it's and waiting for him until it's being fulfilled. And then all of a sudden, Jesus comes and Simeon gets to hold the consolation of Israel. But there still should be, watch this, a reading. All throughout Scripture, there's a priority to read, to hear, and to keep, for the time is at hand. The time it was hand in Daniel's day. The time was at hand in Jeremiah's day. The day of the Lord. They were waiting for the day of the Lord. Maybe I'm the only one that sees that. And so the promise of the revelation is that reading it and Scripture should be a priority, even more so in this day. Can I share some Scripture regarding reading and its priority? Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8. So they read in the book and the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Nehemiah was, what were they trying to do? They were trying to rebuild the Jerusalem. Why? For the king to come. This wasn't something that was unknown, unheard of. They weren't just going through the motions. They were waiting for the promised king to come, and they were setting up the kingdom. That's why when you see Jesus come in, there he is. And they put down the palms, and they put him on the donkey, colt, ass, whichever one it was, and he comes in, and they're saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And he's the king. They were looking for a king. They didn't know they were going to get a sacrifice before they got a king because all things had to be put together. We had to get in there, the wild branch. But there's a priority. They gave the sense and understood the reading, Jeremiah 36 and 8. And Barak, the son of Neriah, did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. And how many warnings? Thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord in Jeremiah. How many things did Jeremiah say? And if they would have kept them, what would have taken place? If they would have read it and heard it and kept it, Israel would have been restored to that position in that place at that time because there was a priority, but they didn't read it. They didn't hear it. They didn't keep it. Jeremiah 51 and verse 63. And it shall be when thou hast made an end of the reading this book, that thou shalt bind a stone to it and cast it into the midst of Euphrates. And there's so much importance in that that Jeremiah was told. Acts 13 and verse 15. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. And we understand what's taking place there in the book of Acts in chapter 13. There's a priority that's taking place. Jesus is wanting the gospel to go out there. Why? So that Israel can be restored and the Gentiles and all of us can be one, and we fall under the reign of Christ. Everything is a priority in the Bible. Everything's a priority in the Bible. But what do we do? This morning's message was a priority. You want your prayers answered? It's a priority to what? Forgive. Well, then you got to do this. How important are those prayers to your forgiving? I was telling some, I got 11 grandkids, man. I'm just tore up over them. Miss Miller, I'm tore up over my 11. There's no guarantee. There's nothing in that book that guarantees my 11 grandkids will see heaven. Nothing. Miss Paul, nothing guarantees that. I got to pray that God would send somebody to them, that mom and dad would act right, that there'd be a witness to them, and they'd be receptive enough to hear it and repent of their sins and receive Christ because we're all born sinners. I want my prayers to be answered. There's a priority in that. And so what do I need to do, Ryan? I need to make sure I'm okay with everybody. Because if not, they're just, what? They're words that never get past the roof of my house. Everything in the Bible that we read and hear is a priority to keep it. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 14, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. And then I put out there on the bookstore a very important verse of Scripture in 1 Timothy. Paul said, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Why? Because reading is a priority. You want your life to matter? You want something to take place and God speak to you and there's a promise? There's so many promises in this book. You know how you get the promises? You establish a priority in reading it. I was telling somebody not too long ago, and I'm encouraged by this, young ladies. I'm encouraged by this. But I was really kind of surprised when I heard so many of the ladies sharing with each other their journey to finally read the Scriptures. Sam, I'm not calling you out. What was the first time you did that? First time. And that was when? Last year. And been in church since when? All your life. Preacher's granddaughter. Avalyn. Mia. Ellie. Been in church your whole life. And where was the priority? Finally read it. And then how much has your life been blessed since? 2nd, the priority of the promise is in not only us to read it, it is to hear it, verse 3b. Why? Because the time's at hand. If reading is a priority in the promise of the revelation, then how much more hearing, since the time is at hand? Why are people dying and going to hell today? Because they don't hear. And it's not that it's being not it's said. You, as a believer, I see God everywhere. I hear God everywhere. But it's amazing how many people they're not used to hearing it. And then sometimes it's so strange when they hear it, they run away from it. Because it goes contradictory to what they're used to hearing. And they get comfortable to hearing. If reading is a priority in the promise of the revelation, then how much more hearing, since the time is at hand? Hearing, and how should they hear? Is it important for people in Japan to hear?
Yeah, right.
Is it important for people in India to hear? Is it important for people in Tuktoyaktuk to hear? It's a priority, because if they hear, then guess what? If they don't read it, maybe if they just hear it, because we've read it and we prioritize the fact that I'm gonna make sure somebody gets to hear a clear presentation of the gospel. Why? Because the time's at hand. And how many of us are not seeing the priority of it so that somebody hears it? We have grown dull to it. We hear it over and over and over and over again. And do very little with it. Where there's others that never get to hear it. How many people in the rest of the world, for America for that matter, and I'm not calling attention to myself, but there's few and far between, how many had an opportunity to hear a message, biblical exposition of forgiveness this morning? In America, and did nothing with it. Let alone the rest of the world. Why? Because the time's at hand. If I can understand that if God will forgive me, I can forgive somebody else. Forgiveness is the whole concept of the gospel. That God, through Christ Jesus, would forgive me. I got to a place where I didn't think he would because I had done so much. But I read it. Jacob was in my office the other day. He found my Bible, Mama. He said, "Is this the one you're talking about?" And I pulled it out and it had the red on the edge of it, and I started thumbing through it, and I had flashbacks of when I pulled that thing out of that German trunk and took it to work with me that night. And because I had probably thumbed through Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord." God was able to what? Speak to me that night, and I was able to hear his still small voice. Why? Because the time was at hand. I was telling Tina before services about the grandkids. I want to make sure they all get there. Is that wrong of me? And she says, I know, I really want the rapture to take place so that I know all my kids get in. And I said, now you know how I felt when y'all were born. And now I said, even more so now, because I got one out of church and then grandkids out of church. And I'm sitting here saying, Lord, if you tarry, and there's not a priority for them to read and hear and keep, then there's a chance I won't see them on the other side. That's what makes revelation all the more that closing emphasis, that God would burden John to share it. Watch this, with the seven churches. So if reading is a priority in the promise of the revelation, how much more hearing? Hearing was a priority in the Old Testament, and it is still a priority in the New Testament. 4 times God states in Deuteronomy, and the word hearing is all throughout the Old Testament. But 4 times God states in Deuteronomy, "Hear, O Israel." And in the New Testament, and especially the Revelation and the letters to the churches, I just use those because we get to hear the emphasis of the priority in the next few verses. Seven times he says this, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Verse 11 of chapter 2, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Revelation 2 and verse 17, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Revelation 2 and 29, "He that hath an ear." Does it seem like God wants us to hear something? "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Revelation 3 and verse 6, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Revelation 3 and verse 13, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Revelation 3 and 22, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Revelation 13 and 9, right in knee deep, or at the beginning of some of the worst part of the Revelation. "If any man have an ear, let him hear." So we see not only the privilege of the promise of the Revelation, we see the priority. The priority is what? Read it. Read it. Just open it up and read it. You can't read very far where you won't see a impending reason to hear it. You know, you read the Bible sometimes and it's like, man, this is why. Watch this now. People that don't rightly divide the Word of God, this is why they already put us. There was somebody I was listening to the other day. We're already in the tribulation, man. The river Euphrates is dried up and they're telling, you know, they're showing all this, and that's Revelation chapter such and such. And I'm going, that's poor hermeneutics and apologetics, because you have to take all the Scripture and rightly divide it. You have to take all the Scripture and rightly divide it. There's a priority, because this thing's going to wrap up in any moment. Read it. Hear it. How much could be prevented today if we were to read and hear what is stated in Revelation and in the Scripture? Anytime you open up the Bible, there's something that needs to be read, heard, and heeded or kept. And how, if we realized how precious the words of the Lord were, we wouldn't allow the fowls of the air to come and what? I tried to prove my point last week. Somebody tell me what Jacob preached on. And I get it. We're going to our notes. We're trying to remember, because we don't realize how important it is to keep it. How much of the Bible, if they passed a law in our country, you could not have a Bible under penalty of imprisonment, and they started taking them. I mean, she's already telling us she's going to come into our houses and take our guns, because you got to disarm people to control people. Then they tell you no more Bibles. The Catholic Church did that because they only wanted you to hear what the Pope said. The Dark Ages weren't the Dark Ages because Thomas Edison didn't invent a light bulb. They were dark because we didn't have light. How much of it would you know? How much of it could you keep? How much of it could you remember? And if you had to, you'd sit down and you'd write down for the pastoral epistles for college, the final exam was fill in the blanks. That was what our final exam was. And it was chapters. And it had to be with punctuation. That's why a lot of times you'll hear me quote a lot of things out of Timothy. Because why? I was taught, if they were pastoral epistles and we were going into ministry, then those epistles should be read, heard, and kept. Because you'll need them down the road. Let me give you this last one. I know what time it is. We might listen to that song about seven times more before we leave tonight. The promise of the Revelation is in the privilege of reading, hearing, and keeping. Secondly, the promise of the Revelation is in the priority of it, the priority to read it, to hear it, and verse 3, to keep it. I'll say what I said here as I said what I did concerning keeping. regarding the privilege. Jesus didn't reveal to John, and John didn't record what was revealed for it just to be said, but that it would be kept. And as a result, the readers and hearers of it that kept it would be kept from the wrath to come. It's a sad day when you see the last letter, and I am of the persuasion, I'm not going to split hairs over it, I am of the persuasion that every one of those letters is a specific time in the history of the church. When Stephen is stoned, is that 9 or 8? 9 is Paul on the road to Damascus, Saul. 7, 8 is Stephen being stoned in the book of Acts. If I rightly divide the word of God, hermeneutically, apologetically, Stephen is giving his last chance to the nation of Israel. Jesus, that Stephen looking up into heaven and saw the Lord standing, that wasn't a standing ovation for how great of a martyr Stephen was. It was a judgmental indictment against the nation of Israel. The judge stood and indicted Israel. And you look from that time on, what takes place? Israel takes a back seat, and now Gentiles take this priority. Paul even prioritizes that on the Macedonia call. He doesn't go to the Shemites. He goes to the what? Japheth and Ham. He heads this way, not that way. You follow what I'm saying? And all of a sudden, from there on out, you see his focus towards the Gentiles. And over again, you watch that picture, if you will, change. And now the time of the Gentiles takes place. And the peak of that is the churches. And now you watch from that time, you do the history of it, and you start seeing Ephesus, Sardis, and Thyatira, and so on and so forth in the church of Philadelphia. Great missionary movement. And I'll give you those, what I've read behind people and believe to be true, those periods of time. And now guess where we're at? Laodicea. The rule of the people. They're not hot, they're not cold, they're just lukewarm. Going to the average church, just tepid. It's not hot, it's not. I don't want cold soup, and I don't want a hot soda, Coke. You follow what I'm saying? And I don't want lukewarm. Anybody ever drank a lukewarm Coke out of a can? Help me, Lord, tastes like you're drinking out of a stovepipe or something like that. And God said, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. And that's exactly what's taking place now. And you see those ages. So what's the importance for those churches, those 7 churches? Watch this. It's important for them to get that letter and read that letter. And again, I'll say this of these letters, just like the ones of Philemon, the preservation of God to make sure those that were there. Thank goodness that John at least, I don't know how long the letter was, but thank goodness that John at least excerpt a portion of those out of there, the commendation and the condemnation and the commendation. He pulled them out of there for us to be able to read, because every one of us at one time or another has had an Ephesus moment. We've left our first love. You don't tell me that the people come Sunday morning, they hear that message on forgiveness, and I see the look in their face, and they don't come back for Sunday night or Wednesday or bring their kids. You can't tell me they're on fire and love God. They missed the letter. They didn't read it. There was a priority to it. Read it. Hear it. Keep it. God, I've left my first love. And if we did that, where would we be? Because watch this. Chapter 4, trump sounds. Chapter 5, it's there. It's sealed, buddy. They're looking for somebody to open the books. And then all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose. From 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, all the way to 19. And it's like you've never seen before. So the promise is the priority. Read it. Hear it. There's people in here tonight that are lost. They've read. They've heard. Am I going to keep it? I don't know. You better keep it, because the time's at hand. Right. It might happen tonight. I might not wake up in the morning. And you know, there's a part of me, Miss Miller, I hope that to be. Because Evelyn got saved. Who's next behind her? Caden? Caden ain't walked forward. Wesley got real close, man. He was under conviction during VBS. But I'd be able to get there with them. and be there with them and not have to worry about, and I understand now why God wipes the tears away. I understand why God does what he does to us, because could you imagine living in eternity? Man, we have a little function at the house and all of them ain't there. I'm going, boy, I sure miss so-and-so. I wish they'd come over. And can I say this? Some of you young people may be in here or somebody else in here. It ain't going to be the same without you. And there's some people in here tonight lost. You haven't prioritized the promise of the book. And the promise of the book is read it, hear it, keep it. Why? Because the time's at hand. Because I'm going to tell you what, when that trump sounds, the promises are over. 2 Thessalonians says we'll be given a strong delusion. Strong delusion. You won't be able to. I don't care how many churches have what's his name's books in them. What's his name? Somebody help me with that. No. Tim LaHaye's ungodly wicked books. What's that series? Left Behind. You don't get a second chance when you're left behind when you've heard the truth. You don't get the chance because you didn't respond to the priority of hearing it. If you're in here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you got to read it, you got to hear it. Now you get a chance to keep it. Why? Because the time's at hand. Because once you've and you did nothing with it, here's the unforgiving sin. Everybody wonders what the unforgiving sin is. The unpardonable sin or whatever it is. Rejection of the Holy Spirit of God. Because that is the only means by where we can get saved. When he knocks on your heart, you've already said you are, right? Caleb did too. He knocks on your heart and there's a doubt. Fix it. Make sure your trust is not in the arm of the flesh, but in the resurrected Savior who died, shed his blood so that we might be saved. He was a mediator between God and man and made peace on our behalf for our sinful nature, and we rest in his atonement at the cross for us. And then we come. Because once five happens, you don't get a chance. And anybody under the sound of my voice just got to hear truth. And if you don't keep it, 2 Thessalonians, you get a strong delusion and you just play church. And they will be playing church during the tribulation. There'll be a whole one world church. It'll be the Coca-Cola song. I like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. They'll be holding hands and hugging necks. And the Pope just declared it. Everybody's got their own little path to the top of the mountain, but there's only one peak. I don't know what book he's reading out of. But he's got the spirit of Antichrist. What's the priority? Read it. Hear it. Keep it. Where could we be tonight as a church if we recognize the promise of the revelation in its privilege and in its priority and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand? Father, we'd ask you to help us tonight. Before the message was even preached, Lord, you convicted me. Just in a song. Just in a song, that you're enough. And I'm afraid to say, I've realized some days you're not, and I'm looking for something else, but I pray I go out of here tonight, Lord, knowing that you are enough. And Lord, help me to read the book. Help me to hear the book. And help me to keep it. Help me to listen to the message this morning that I don't harbor unforgiveness, so that I can pray that family members and grandchildren and people and friends and acquaintances and maybe even young people sitting on a church pew here, or even an older person here, that I can pray that their heart be open, they'd receive Christ as Savior before it's eternally too late. Help me, Lord, to prioritize reading, hearing, and keeping. I ask you all these things in Christ's name we pray. Amen.